we're supposed to be here. And God got us here. There had to be some prayers going up because there were several things that shouldn't have happened that happened, and it's unbelievable. Well, I wish we had an hour to explain the whole thing because there's some really fun things that happened since we left at Nashville. We ended up staying at a home yesterday with somebody when we broke down once before. And I called them and said, hey, guess what? We're in town. They had us in. They had us up for the night. They provided meals for us. And we had a great time. But it's unbelievable. This is the kind of stuff that happens from time to time when you're traveling like this. But we love getting to do this. My brother and I were ADD, ADHD. Anybody know what that means? You know what hyperactive? Y'all know what hyperactive is? Yeah, we were ADD. Yeah, how many of you are familiar with that term? Well, some of you. We were ADD, ADHD, XYZ, KLMNOP. We had it all, okay? And we were hyperactive, and we frosted hair for free, okay? My mom and dad turned gray, and Rick and I turned loose, okay? But anyway, we like to have a lot of fun. I tell you what, would you do me a favor just, if for no other reason, just to humor me right now? Would everybody look at somebody and repeat after me? Would you do that right now? And maybe this will be the first time you spoke to your wife all day. But I want everybody to look at somebody, look them right in the eye, and repeat after me. Say, I'm so glad. Okay, that was good, but we can do better. Say, I'm so glad.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad.
That I don't.
That I don't.
Look like you.
Rick and I can't say that. We're identical twins, okay? It's funny when people come up to us, I say, man, you guys are short, bald, and we used to be fat. And fat, you know, what do you attribute that to? I said, success, you know? But anyway, we like to have a lot of fun, and we thought we could have a good time with you folks. Y'all are coming in this morning. I listen, Rick, when we first get to a place, we're starting to listen. We're starting to listen to what everybody's saying, how jovial they are. You people are happy, and that's a good thing, especially after all we've been through as a nation the last couple of years with this COVID mess. It's a mess, but I'm thankful that one of these days, all this is going to be over, okay? And we're looking forward to that. But anyway, we want to get started this morning. But before we do, we're going to introduce our guests in just a few minutes. There's seven of us that have come from Birmingham, and we're going to introduce them in just a minute. But before we get started, let's just do this. Let's just all stand together. Would you do that? Let's just all stand.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Okay, we really appreciate that. Y'all were clapping when I came up. You want to give my brother a hand for just showing up?
Well, wonderful. Yeah. How many of you can tell there's a set of identical twins in the house? How many of you just don't care? That's the reason we're here today. We want to spread a little apathy and complacency. How did we do? Mm. Well, I want y'all to know you can tell we're short. Our dad was 6 foot tall, our little brother 6'1", and Mick and I were cut in half.
That's right. Here, get on this side, Rick, because
all right,
my mic
I can't. Reach. Yeah, I agree with you totally.
There you go.
But I want y'all to know we are so glad to be here today. Y'all are friendly. Thank y'all for being understanding, because we have been in the weirdest trip we've been on in years, trying to get up here. It took us 13 hours. What was supposed to be a 3 or 4 hour trip? We just enjoyed Atlanta and Birmingham, and then, wait a minute, we went from Birmingham to Atlanta, back to Birmingham to reload fuel, back to Atlanta. We were there half the night, got 3 o'clock in the morning, got up this morning at 5-something, and off we came to Minnesota. So,
it's good.
Thankful.
I'm glad.
Anyway, how many of you are glad to be here? Yeah.
We love your enthusiasm. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to try to do something. We haven't even practiced. We have a new sound technician.
My son has been the sound technician for 20-something years. I want y'all to know he's a little bit nervous because he's not being able to do what he normally would be able to do. We practiced a whole lot different than what we did. So if you can.
And we're going to try to find it. Have you got anything queued up, like Standing on the Promises or anything? Okay. We're going to try to do something. We haven't even rehearsed. He's not even rehearsed with us. So,
hey, if we mess up, y'all just laugh.
Just laugh. That's all we're going to ask you to do. Joseph, this is Joseph Falgu in the back. Y'all wave at Joseph. He's nervous this morning. And anyway, we're going to try to do.
I want y'all to know we make coffee nervous.
We really do.
Okay. So we want you to know. We're excited about being with you because y'all have hyped us up already.
Okay. Let's try this.
Here we go, Joseph, Mick, right there. We're ready.
Let's try it. So far, so good. Okay.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Well, you go to church twice on Sunday, make the Wednesday service too. You don't even need the songbook to sing the hymn 142.
When you sing Standing on the Promises, you repeat the last four bars. But you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. We've listened to a thousand sermons, but you never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to be religious, but you never get too far. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
To the Holy Land, you'll be the first to go. You give $50 to the mission board, and everybody knows.
Your service as an usher outshines the brightest star. But you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Well, you raised your hand and you met the Lord over 20 years ago.
Yeah, but John 3:16 and Psalm 23 are the only verses you know.
I can see why things aren't working, why things are up to par. But you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. Well, you've listened to a thousand sermons, but you never really heard. And the only way your life will change is to get into God's Word. You can try to be religious, but you never get too far. You can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. Well, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are. And I am standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what they are.
Yeah. Woo. All right, I've got to ask something. Yep. I met two men in the back, Mick. One was Rick, and the other was Dick. No, one was...
Nick?
No, there was another guy back
Slick.
There. No, he wasn't even in our... But anyway, where's Dick? Is he back there? He's got the curly... There you go.
There
and Rod. Rod was the other one. There they are. And I told him, I said, you guys look like twins, except a little bit different in size. But anyway, I want you to know our dad was Dick. I'm Rick.
And I'm Mick.
And that's Mick. And guess what our little brother's name is? Tom.
Tom.
Okay.
Yep.
So anyway, we just thought y'all would like to know that. So, but anyway, we've got another song. And you can tell I'm straining a little bit here. So if we get a little bit of water, that would be helpful. But if we don't, that's okay. I'll just drown in my own. But anyway, we're going to do a song called You Put This Love in My Heart. Keith Green wrote it. How many of you know who Keith Green
How many
was?
Of you remember Keith Green?
I love that guy.
He was our favorite.
He
right.
was. Oh, so man. We want you to know we're going to sing that one. And please sing along with us. And if you don't
know
it,
sing. And if you don't
just
sing.
Have fun. Okay,
right.
Here we go.
Do you know you put this love in my heart?
He's let's got go. It. I already
All right, know. Let's go. All right.
After that, we don't. So.
Thank you, Jordan.
I found it hard to believe someone like you care for me. You put this love in my heart. I tried to could not refuse. You gave me no time to choose. You put this love in my heart. I wanna know where the bad feelings go when I'm depressed and I get down so low. And then I'll see you coming to me and it's alright. I wanna tell you right now, I'm not afraid to say how you put this love in my heart. There are some times when I doubt, but you always find me out. You put this love in my heart. Cause when I've seen all that you've done for me, it's hard to doubt, I just have to believe. Cause you follow up, proving all of your love. Well, I know the loneliness I had before is gone now. I'll never feel it anymore. Cause your love has released me from all that's in my past. And I know I can believe you when you say I'll never be forsaken. Your love is gonna last. There's so much more I should say if I could just find a way. You put this love in my heart. Is all this real or a dream? I feel so glad I could scream. You put this love in my heart. I want to know where the bad feelings go when I'm depressed and I get down so low. And then I'll see you coming to me and it's all right. There's so much more I should say if I could just find a way. You put this love in my heart. Is all this real or a dream? I feel so glad I could scream. You put this love in my heart. You put this love in my heart. You put you put this love in my heart. You put this love in my heart. You put this love in my heart.
All right. Now, let's
I tell you what we're going to do. Let me introduce some folks that came up from Birmingham. We've got a couple fellas that are sitting on the front row. These guys are at the University of Alabama. Cameron's going to be a sophomore, and you're going to be a junior, right? You're going to be a senior? Oh, man. He's going to be a senior. Y'all stand up just a second. We're going to have them come up in just a second, but I'm going to ask Cameron to come up in a minute. We've got Jay. He's a retired businessman. Can y'all believe that? When you look at him, can you believe he's 85?
86.
86?
Yeah.
86.
No, anyway, he's not. He is retired.
He is retired, but he's about 60, I think.
And we're retired. No, we're retarded.
Yeah, we're retarded.
All right, so. And, hey, by the way, Mick, did you notice we've got Joseph back there, and Joseph's about the same size as they are, as long as he's standing back there.
That's right.
Now, I want to do something, Mick.
Wait, I'm not done.
Okay, go ahead.
My wife is here. She's the best thing that happened. Come on, Sue, you got to stand up. This is my wife, Sue. My name is Mick. The way you get us, I know some of you, if I don't say this, some of you will come up, is that y'all's wife? We go, man, we love our wife. We love her. But no, this is my wife, okay?
But I want you to know she's a good one.
The way you put us together is we're like a disease, MS, Mick and Sue, okay?
And mine, my wife's name is Debbie. She's back home, and it's DNR. The doctor treats MS, okay, because I'm Rick and she's Debbie. Anyway, I want y'all to know, I noticed that a lot of y'all can tell that we're short, and I wanted to prove it by coming down here. How many of you can tell we're short now? You see, I'm standing Most of you, well, all of you are seated. And that makes us about eye level. And I like saying it. Our dad was 6 foot tall. The 6 foot one, and Mick and I were cut in half. But I want you to know, we never dreamed we would do this for a living. Mick and I flunked speech. We did, and we flunked speech is because we skipped it. And that is because we were afraid to get up in front of our peers. And had you told us back then we'd be getting up in front of hundreds of thousands of students every year, we'd have told you, you're nuts. It's kind of the way the Lord is. He has a sense of humor. So I always say when God comes, this is a fun mic. When God calls you to do something, a lot of is this. Oh, wait a minute. It was coming apart. Is that better?
Yeah. It does help if you
check. Here, watch. I'm teasing. Anyway, I want you to know I'm thrilled we're here. Mick and I are liking having fun. And I forgot half of my lines just now because we're having so much fun. Y'all are looking at us and you're laughing and having a great time. So that's what we wanted to do. Three things in life we never wanted to be when we were growing up were short, bald, and fat. And today we're short, bald, and skinny. But I'm thankful for the privilege of, yeah, skinnier. But anyway, I am hopeful that we can do some more ministry as we've been doing this. Mick and I have been in public high schools for 39 years. We've just completed year 39, and we're about ready to start year 40. We go into the public schools. We do a secular program called Attitude Check. It's all in your attitude. And we invite all the students out to a neutral program called a pizza blast. We give them free pizza, free pop, a free program, and share the gospel, which is free. And we've seen so many thousands of people get saved through the years. We didn't. We just kept on going. But we're so grateful for the privilege. This morning, we're going to do a song or two. But I thought before we do it, we'd like to have Cameron, you want to come up here real quick and just share. Now, I want you folks to know the reason we like bringing these younger guys in, because we're wanting someday for some of these guys to take our place. And so,
and they can't do that because of their height. So we're going to give them major surgery.
You can see he used to be, what, 6 foot?
No, I'm 6'3".
6'3"? No. All right. Well, anyway, you can tell.
No, we Mick were 6 foot two. There was a time Rick and I were 6 foot two. Then we got married and settled down.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to think of.
These guys aren't retired yet. They're just a little tired, but they're making it now.
Mm-hmm. Go for it, man.
All right, so hey, this is thank y'all for just welcoming us here, and you know, like y'all heard, it's been such a crazy journey here, but it's been great to see just this community of believers. Even though we're all the way across the country, we all belong in the same mission field. We all belong to the Big C Church, and seeing others and winning others for Christ. And so this journey, I guess I can call it a journey, of getting here, you know, it really reminded me, and as we were singing, even in the hard times, I will bless your name. And so, reminded me of a testimony I have. So, like Mick and Rick said, I attend the University of Alabama, and the two things we're known for are football and being the number one party school in the country. And so with that comes a lot of crazy things that I see on campus. And so I went into my freshman year wanting to rush a fraternity, and I go through pledgeship. And I'm not sure if any of you guys have been through a fraternity, but pledgeship is very rigorous, very time-consuming, and very draining. And the whole time through that, I felt the Lord placing an urgency of sharing the gospel. And it kind of felt a lot like Paul's mission when Paul was in the prisons. All the guards, he rejoiced that he was in prison because these guards had to listen to the gospel. And so that was kind of where I was at. I was like, hey, if God, you're going to put me here, I want these people to hear the gospel. And so I do this and walk in, and it's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. Crazy. And all of a sudden, one day, I get a call from the president saying, hey, we're dropping you. We don't want this Christian stuff in our fraternity. And for 6 weeks, this is, I mean, I hate to say it, it was a lot of my life. And there are a lot of things that we don't see going on that God's working. And, you know, like we were singing this morning, in the hard times, we're going to bless your name. And so I guess my encouragement to you guys today, like, you might be going through a desert. You might feel like you're going through a desert. And we all do as believers. We're told we're going to go through a desert. And, you know, we look at some of the great people in the Bible. You look at Saul killing, murdering Christians. That was a desert time in his life, a desolate place. But even Jesus, right before he started his ministry, if you remember when Jesus got baptized and he was led to the wilderness, or some translations even say a desert, Jesus was tempted there, and he was in a desert. But right after that, he kickstarted his ministry, which gave all of us hope. And so I guess my quick little encouragement for you guys today, like, if you're going through a desert, keep pressing. You don't know what the Lord's going to do. We want to bless his name, because he's going to work past that. And we don't need to give up. We just need to keep on pressing into him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God. And so if we, just like Rick and Mick were singing, I mean, holding up those precious promises and relying on those is going to be the only way we're going to be sustained. Because Satan, I mean, like we've seen the past 24 hours, he's going to try to take our joy. He's going to try to ruin all of our plans. But when we rely on that and stand on the word of God as our authority, it's going to carry us beyond all understanding. So I just want to thank y'all again today for just welcoming us. And we love y'all, and thank y'all for letting us be here today.
Thank you, buddy. We started a Bible study 4 years ago in our home, and it was not done. We weren't purposely doing this. We had one of the students that come to our Bible study came to come and get an adjustment, and I work on people's back sometimes, and so he came over and I began to do like we do every time we get together with him. And a few minutes later, he says, "Hey, do you mind if my girlfriend hears this?" I said, no. Where is she? And he goes, "Out in the car." I said, "You've got her sitting in the dark for the last 30 minutes, and she's out there waiting on you?" And I said, "Go get her and get her." Anyway, to make a long story short, we began to share. I asked her, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10's the best, what are your chances of making it to heaven? Now, I know she's an engineer. She's studying in engineering and this kind of thing. So I said to her, "I want you to think of, I don't want you to just blurt out an answer. I want you to really think about that. And I want you to think, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are your chances of making it?" So she thought for a minute, and finally she says, "I think I'm an 8.9. And I started laughing. And I said, "Well, that's better than most, but if I could show you how to bump that up to a 10, are you interested?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." Well, anyway, from that moment, we started these Bible studies. Rick's got one in his home. We've got one in my home. We're 40 miles apart, okay? And anyway, both of these guys have been attending our discipleship and Bible studies and this kind of thing, and now they're leaders, and you're seeing that, and they're being leaders on the University of Alabama campus. And that's a wild place. It is a wild place. But anyway, to make a long story short, God's got a remnant there, and they share the gospel faithfully. And it's really awesome to see how God's raising some of these young people up. We had 37 in our home on Wednesday night, high school and college age students. And a lot of these kids are leadership kids, a lot of leadership kids. We're going to be doing a leadership conference in Minnesota. We leave tomorrow morning sometime, and we're going up to northern Minnesota at a camp. What's you remember the name of the camp? Living Word Bible Camp. And that's it's up north. It's 4 hours north of here, let's put it that way, okay? And so we're going up there, and we're going to be meeting with teenagers. And just be praying about that, because we're praying that God will do an eternal work. We pray for fruit that remains, fruit that will make a difference, not just while next week. No, it needs to be something that lasts forever. And so pray for that, because I'm not sure what's happening. Maybe the next Billy Graham is supposed to get saved up in that camp with all the stuff that's been going on here. And Satan's doing everything he can do to avoid that from happening. But anyway, God's got his purposes. And maybe it's for somebody here today. We don't know about. I don't know what's going on. But we do know that whenever this happens, it's exciting. And so we're thankful for that. We're going to do a couple. Do y'all like guitar music? We're going to try to do a guitar song. About a year and a half ago, I like to exercise. And so I was overdoing it. I was doing some crunches. Do y'all know what a crunch is where you raise up? Rick, you're going to have to pull that back. It's getting feedback.
Sounds pretty.
Not. But anyway, I was overdoing it. I was doing over 300 crunches at a time, and I put a bulging disc in my back. I didn't know that when you have a bulging disc, it can cause a lot of pain, and that pain elevates your blood pressure, and I had a stroke. And that was on Halloween night. It'll be 2 years this Halloween, okay? So it was a year and a half ago. And it messed me up, and I couldn't even play the guitar again. I had to learn how to walk, had to learn to use my right arm and my right leg again. And so every now and then it takes me a minute to get started with my guitar. So if that happens, just laugh, okay? So we're going to do a couple songs real quick. We're going to do a little Chinese song getting started. It's called Tuning.
Yeah. All right. How many of you thought that was silly?
Ridiculous.
And how many of you thought that was silly, ridiculous, and immature? That's great. We were just trying to keep this on your level. All right. You guys are a lot of fun. I can tell you, y'all are looking at us like this. All right.
Wait a minute, I gotta hear this. Okay.
Okay, I'll move over.
Let's try this. And now. Now for song number two. Let's try this.
1 minute. I'm off of this. No, okay, yeah. While he's tuning, I just want y'all to know we are thankful for the Lord's being able to let us be back in ministry. 8.5 years ago, we were out in Utah for our first time to get into the Mormon country. And we went into the public high schools. It was very successful. And I told the guy that brought us out was a former Mormon. Anyway, the long short of it, I told him, I said, Rob, is there any way you can take me to the clinic and let me see if I can get a shot or something that can help me with this sinus infection? Because I want to be able to have a voice for tomorrow night. The next night was the pizza blast where we invite parents and students and everybody. He said, sure, do you want to go before school or after? I said, let's do after the school assembly. So we went. Doctor gave me 3 meds. I told him, I said, look, you have to be careful. I'm a diabetic and I'm also got high blood pressure. He goes, oh, I'll be fine. I know what to give you. He gave me 3 things. 2 of them you don't give to diabetics. Sent me into ketoacidosis. And I didn't almost make it. I went into the hospital and they had my arms both outstretched like this, both trying to get IVs in my arm. They couldn't get it in. And I said, y'all got to come on. I've got to go do a concert tonight. And they looked at me and all 8 of them turned around, 5 nurses, 3 doctors, said, you're not going anywhere. I said, what? He goes, hey, you're not going anywhere. You're in critical condition. We're just trying to save your life. I went, oh, well, go ahead. But I looked at him. I said, you know what? I'm not afraid. I'm in total peace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I said, I'm really not afraid. If the Lord's ready to take me, I'm ready to go. Well, I lived. But it affected my throat. I've never been able to get it quite back the same. Mick having the stroke, now we're about even. But I want you to know, we were with, do y'all know who the guy that wrote Mary, did you know? Mark Lowry? We were on his boat when Mick had the stroke. We were best friends with Mark and his brother Mike. So anyway, we're glad he's recouping and recovering. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and start off. This is a song that's a testimony song. Man, you're doing great on that thing.
I don't know. Like I said, Satan's fighting this thing.
What in the world? There we go. He tuned this before the service.
This never happens.
Right? No, go down. For a long time I wondered what the things I did were coming to. I'd heard the same old story about Jesus and his glory. Well, I didn't know if they were really true.
I'm gonna
live for him today. Tomorrow I'll be in a better place.
I'm gonna
live for him today, hey, and soon he'll come to meet us face to face. Now I'm tired of seeing people turning their backs and walk away. They just put it off till later. Turn around and say, hey, don't you talk to me now, I don't have time today.
I'm gonna
live for him today. Tomorrow I'll be in a better place.
I'm gonna
live for him today, hey, and soon he'll come to meet us face to face.
Hey, and
soon he'll come to meet us face to face.
Hey, and
soon he'll come to meet us face to face.
Let's get Brody up here.
Brody, come on up.
Come on up, buddy.
We want you to share a minute.
Okay, cool. Yep, can y'all hear me well? All right, my name is Brody. As I said earlier, I'm a senior at Alabama, twice removed. Brody, what does twice removed mean? I failed out twice. So, I was in chemical engineering at Alabama for my first 2 years, but I failed out of that, and the Lord called me to ministry. But that's not the part of testimony I want to tell tonight. This morning. What I want to tell today is real. It's hard. I don't pull any punches when I tell my testimony because I want people to know what real suffering looks like and how Jesus can bring you out of that. So I'm skipping over a lot because they told me 2 minutes. So we're going to hop right in. So, when I was really young in my walk, I discovered pornography really young in my walk. And so, in that, there was so much guilt, so much shame, because I thought I was the only one. And so my mom, she was showing me the scripture where it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. I didn't believe that in the slightest. Not in the slightest did I believe that. Because no one else around me would say that they were struggling with it. No one else would tell me those things. So I was sitting there struggling with it in my life, but everybody else was lying to me, saying they weren't. And so when I go to these schools or these communities and talk at Pizza Blast or something like that, I always talk about it because I don't want any kid in that atmosphere in high school to think that they're alone because they aren't. They are not. And so I want to also flip to one more. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So let me ask you a question then. How can you bear one another's burdens if you don't talk about your burdens? So I make my burdens very clear to these children because I don't want them to think, well, this guy is not struggling with that with. He doesn't get me. He doesn't get me. Well, actually, here's the thing, is that nearly 90% of high school boys struggle with pornography. That's staggering, isn't it? And no one wants to talk about it. So I'm going to tell all these kids, you are not alone, and there is freedom. I am living proof of that freedom. So I talk about that, and then I talk about depression. Because when you get hooked on things such as pornography, all the devil uses it to do is to dive you deeper and deeper into sin and deeper into struggle. And I don't want these kids to ever think that there is an escape. Because if we go and look back at 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm going to finish that verse now. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What a joyous verse. What a joyous verse. I think I've exhausted my time, but thank you guys.
You know, when Brody shared that the first time, it was at a school, in two different schools. We started having kids come up. In a spiritual emphasis week, we go through a whole thing, and what we do is the kids come up and share their story. If God's done something in their heart that week, we want you to come up and share what he did. That's why we call it Say So. Let the redeemed of the Lord. That's it. And so these kids started coming up and sharing their heart. In one school, we had three guys and three girls, small school, that had an addiction problem with pornography. And we're finding this has become the norm. And we want y'all to pray for our students, folks. Do you know we were in the state of Massachusetts last fall? And they could not allow the students to put down what gender they were because they won't know till they're in their teen years. These are elementary kids. They don't know what gender they are. We are living in a very sick world right now. And we have got to ask the Lord to give. I mean, we keep going, but Mick and I know we're at the tail end of these things. That's why these guys like them. We need these guys out there. And we know there's a lot of you out here that may one of these days be doing that up here, but we're just trusting the Lord to do something great in our America's youth. So why don't we have a real quick word of prayer for our students, okay? Can we do that? Father God, we come to you. We know apart from you, Lord, our country is shot. As I heard John MacArthur say this last week in a message he spoke, we're not looking for judgment. We're not watching for judgment. We are in and under the judgment of God right now in this country. And when judgment starts, it doesn't stop. And so we're going to ask you, Lord, to provide means like us as believers. And just like he said that day, we don't need to be down and defeated. We need to be the ones that are strong and joyful and happy and letting them see the other side so that the people on the other side will come running to people like us who are believers and say, Father, we want what they've got. So may we be the light that shines to a culture of young people that have to face a world we never had to face, not like this. So we're going to ask you, God, to do something in our country again and provide salvation to thousands more, Father, before you come. And we're going to be quick to give you every ounce of glory, all the praise, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Nazarene had come to live the life of every man, and he felt the fascination of the stars. And as he wandered through this weary world, he wondered and he wept, for there were so few who'd listen to his call. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. The fact of his humanity was there for all to see. He was unlike any other man, yet so much like me. The Nazarene could hunger and the Nazarene could cry, and he could laugh with all the fullness of his heart. And those who hardly knew him, and those who knew him well, could feel the contradiction from the start. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. The fact of his humanity was there for all to see. He was unlike any other man, yet so much like me. He came, he saw, he surrendered all, so that we might be born again. The fact of his humanity was there for all to see. He was unlike any other man, yet so much like me.
My wife and I have five children. Rick and Debbie have three children. And at one time, they had three and we had two. And then they got up to three and three. We thought, oh, good. We got the same amount of kids and everything. You know, we were just alike, right? And it kind of equaled out real good, too, because at that point, we had two girls and a boy, and he had two boys and a girl. So when they got up together, we were all on stage. It was three and three. And then my wife really ruined stuff. And we had two little answers to prayer we never prayed for. And our son had come to us just a few months before, and he said, I'd really like to have a baby brother. And we're going, I don't think that's going to happen. This was, at the time, my wife was 44, and I was 46. And I'm thinking, this is almost an impossibility, you know. But a few months later, my wife found out she's expecting, right? My son was real excited to find out he was going to have twin brothers. And they ended up being twin sisters. And man, was he disappointed. We had... But it's what was really cool is how the Lord even was able to work that out. I said, son, you're not thinking this through. You're not even thinking this through. They are going to follow you around everywhere you go. You're going to get to teach them how to fish. You're going to get to teach them how to hunt. And he liked extreme sports. And he I don't know if you've ever seen anybody that does these rock climbing and they'll climb up.
The face of a mountain.
The face of mountains, you know. We've got a. In fact, do you have? I don't think we have them in here. We do. Is it up here? Okay. Oh, there. Good. Thanks. Yeah. This is. Can I get?
Hey, man. Hold on to it.
Let me do it again. Anyway, if you could see this, and you can pick some up in the back, we'll have a few of these. But anyway, this is looking down a cliff, and that's 1,100 feet high, and these guys climb up to these tents, and they camp out in these tents after climbing straight up for 1,100 feet. They stay there that night, and the next morning they get up and go another 1,100 feet, 2,200 feet, and some of you have heard of Yosemite National Park, and this is Half Dome. My son was training to do that, and he said to me one day, he said, Dad, I finished my 3 years of training. I'm ready to go. I'm in tip-top shape. I said, I just don't know when I don't want to know when you're going. I just want to know when you get back. I said, I don't want you to tell me because I don't want to be nervous a nervous wreck while you're gone. Make a long story short, he never made that journey. He never made that journey. He loved to hunt and fish. We have a farm. We're a 150-acre farm, and we have two big open fields, and then we have a little strip of trees right between the two. And he was in a tree stand, 33 feet high. We think he got sleepy, fell asleep, fell out of his tree stand. The harness caught him like it's supposed to do. The problem was he couldn't get out of his harness. And he never made, he asphyxiated. And that was on December the 7th, 2013. I don't wish this pain on my worst enemy, because it is the most painful thing my wife and I and our daughters have been through. Some of you may have lost a son or a daughter. Some of you may have lost a brother or a sister. Our four daughters lost their only brother, and we lost our only son. But I know we're going to see him again because he knew the Lord. So to partner with his story, we wrote a track called The Risk Taker. And in that, it shares the gospel, tells his story about what happened, but it also shares the gospel. And we've had opportunity now to hand out 12,000 of these. I've got 5,000 being printed right now in English, and I'm getting a couple thousand right now made in Spanish. And we use this all the time to share the good news. Maybe you've lost someone, maybe you've had someone, or maybe you are looking for a track that will make a clear presentation of the gospel. We do that in this. We don't have that many left because we're running out. We've only got less than 100 left, and we're saving a lot of those for this camp we're doing with these teens this week. So we may have 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 that we can give out here. So make sure it's one per family, okay? And we'll try to get some more up here. Pastor, y'all let us know, okay? Folks, the most important thing you ever face in this life is, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? What am I going to do with Christ? Because Jesus didn't claim to be a way to get to God. He claimed to be the way, the truth, not a truth, the truth, not a life, but the life. And if this doesn't, you know, when you're talking to somebody that's atheist or agnostic or they're from another religion, we try to be sweet about it and try to be nice, but we just said, look, Jesus said that he's the only way to get to Christ. And some people think that's arrogant, but I said, I think it's the truth. You have to understand. This is not just for everyone. We're not just worshiping the same God with different names. No, Jesus, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life. And if that didn't offend you enough, he said, and no man comes to the Father except through me. He didn't mince words. And perhaps there's somebody here today. For 5 years, I sat where most of you are sitting, in a church. And for 5 years, I knew I was lost, but I was more afraid of what everybody else thought than what God thought. And there may be somebody here today, and you're Christian friendly. You're not opposed to Christianity at all. I meet a lot of Christian friendly people that go to church, but they don't have a relationship. Is that worth risking all eternity? Is it worth risking all eternity? Because that's what you're talking about. If you don't know Christ, you can meet him today. Mm-hmm. And pray that as we share this week, and we're getting ready after we get through with this trip, we go home for 2 weeks, and then we're all four going again, five, six. We're all going up to seven because of Joseph. We're all seven going up to the Dakotas where we're going to be in some public schools. And we're going to get a chance to share Christ with people that they're looking for God like a thief's looking for a policeman. They're not looking for him. But we're going to share the good news. We're going to share the gospel. And we're going to give an invitation for people to respond to Christ. Pray for us. We have not done this in a while because of COVID, number one. Number two, our health conditions. This will be the first time we've really done a public school outreach since I've had a stroke. And I'm not thinking straight. If you've had a stroke, you know what I'm talking about. I'm getting better, but I'm not all there. But we just need, we need physical strength, and we need to cover. We ask for your prayers and for your coverage. If some of you would happen to have finances, we've got a $31,000 budget coming up for these 3-4 weeks of ministry coming up. And I think we've raised $3,000 or $4,000 at this point. Some of you might want to invest in the kingdom that way if you'd like to help us out. We're not looking to you, we're not. We're looking to him. And he's provided for all our needs. For 39 years, we start our 40th year of ministry September the 1st. We thought we would do this for 3 to 5 years, and then we get into what we were supposed to be doing, never knowing that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing even way back then. But we're grateful for this. It's an honor. It's an honor to be a part of the body of Christ. I'm meeting people that we're going to spend all eternity with right here. And we're going to get to know each other better. And it's going to be a wonderful day. We're just grateful for that. We'd covet your prayers. We're going to do one more song, and then Rick's going to give the invitation. Okay. Can y'all turn these up a little bit? I think. There we go.
Oh, I don't know if I've got my...
You can turn this one down just a little bit. I'm a little louder than you. Yeah. Hey, Sue, can you come up? Now, my wife sings with us from time to time, and I think we need to get another microphone, if that's possible. But anyway, this is my wife, Sue. She has a prettier smile than I do. Don't you, huh?
Don't ask me that.
Don't ask me that. Okay. She's a country girl. She's from a little place called Middletown, Virginia. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there, okay? But.
It's like here.
Yeah, it's a lot like here, yeah. But anyway, we're going to do a song that if we'd have thought of it, we'd have written it.
We would have.
We would have written it, but it's called He Took My Place, okay? So we're going to try that right now, okay?
So let's play it back here.
He took my place at Calvary, died in disgrace upon the tree. The world is blind and cannot see. He did it all for you and me. He suffered great and not a word, shed perfect blood, no cry was heard. And by his stripes we all are cured. True victory is now assured. Why would you pay such a price for the man that I am? I never did one thing for you. Jesus came and died as a helpless lamb. That's something no mere man would do. Days have passed since Jesus died. He rose again. He never lied. I've been set free. I once was tied. How great to have him living inside.
Amen.
Why would you pay such a price for the man that I am? I never did one thing for you. Jesus came and died as a helpless lamb. That's something no mere man would do. Why would you pay such a price for the man that I am? I never did one thing for you. Ooh. Jesus came and died as a helpless lamb. That's something no mere man would do. That's something no mere man. That's something no mere man. That's something no mere man would do.
Amen. Well, I have to tell you, I didn't bring my notes up here or anything, and I'm just going to do this. Lord, let me get through it. I want y'all to know, when Mick and I got started doing ministry, we had a burden for teens. We had it right from the start. So I felt like we were going into the right area. And I remember the first time we shared the gospel, we were in a little, well, we did this several times up in New York. We had been in Colorado. And really now what would can be considered the most liberal places in the country, some of them. And the first one we did in New York, there was three little schools about the size of 250 students. And, I mean, we were in a pretty good circle. If you went and said, okay, that's probably 30 miles from here, that one's probably 20 miles from here, and that's another 15 or 20 miles. And then we met at Ski Wyndham Resort in New York. They had on the door, was it 400 capacity? They had been praying for months for 100 students to come. Now, that's about a fourth or fifth of the group that we went to. And this was our first. And we ended up, when we started, they started praying for 200 people to come the last week before we got there. So when we got there that week, we went to the schools and we came out. We went to Ski Wyndham and we're thinking, man, Lord, I hope that if we're going to get 200 people here, Lord, I hope all these people that are Christians will come. Well, they quit counting at the door at 700. That night, we gave an invitation. 100 people walked forward getting saved. No, it was more than that. It was a third of the crowd. And so we were like in shock. We were like, what in the world, Lord? You got to be kidding. So we went to another group, and that one was about the same size. We were expecting maybe 300 or 400, and about 800 students showed up, and that one was the first one. And 100 students got saved, and we said, we're hooked. We're going to keep doing this. We traveled with the grandparents of one of the kids that was killed at Columbine. Do y'all remember a mom and dad named Bernal, Brad and Misty Bernal? They wrote about their daughter, Cassie. And it was a book called She Said Yes. Her killer asked with a shotgun, with a gun pointed to her head, do you believe in God? She boldly said yes. She was underneath the table in the library. He said, why? And before she could respond, he took her life. We shared her story for 8.5 years with her grandparents. We saw over 33,300 and something decision cards signed saying yes to Christ. Now, Mick and I have been doing this for so many years now. It's just been a part of our nature. We still can't believe we're going into public schools, into Christian schools. We're going into this to reach the lost. You know what we found? Christian schools are no different. We probably see about half the student bodies come to know Christ. You know, I'm going to ask y'all a question this morning. Mick already started it. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, what's your chances of going to heaven? You know, the gentleman that started that lived in Minnesota, was a pitcher for the Minnesota Twins. Maybe y'all remember the name Al Worthington. Anybody know who Al Worthington was? Any of y'all? Al Worthington is in the top 50 players of all time for the Minnesota Twins. His first two games to ever pitch, he pitched shutouts. And he still holds that record. So here's what I'm saying, folks. It's hard to believe that he's been doing this. He's 93 years old, will be 94 in a couple months. I was with him last week, and I told him we're going to be coming to Minnesota. He goes, oh, Rick, I'll be praying for you guys, he and his wife. His wife just got out of the hospital. But I'm here to tell you, that man witnesses to everything that breathes. And so one day I was at Walmart. This was a few months ago, of course. And I was at Walmart, and behind every single bathroom head was a track. And every one of the bathrooms, that the stalls, was another track on each one of them. I said, Al's here. I went out to God to try to go find him, and I always went to the pharmacy because that's usually the area he hung around. He was in a seat, and he was sitting there like this. I thought, I don't want to scare him. I don't want to have him have a heart attack. So I just stood there like this. Finally, after about 10 seconds, you know how you can almost feel somebody's there? He went like this. He said, hey, Rick. And I said, hey, Al. He said, Rick, you see that girl? I mean, went from that to say, hey, do you see that girl over there behind that counter? I said, yeah. That register? I said, yeah. He goes, go tell her how she can know Christ. I said, okay. So I walked around the corner. I walked up to the register, and I said, hon, can I ask you something? She goes, sure. I said, how many people in your lifetime do you think will tell you how you can go to heaven? And she said, two. I said, really? I'm one of them. Are you ready? And she goes, I've already done it. I said, you have? And she goes, yeah. I said, with who? And she goes, that man over there. And it was Al Worthen. And he was over there going like this. He was bent over. But I'm going to tell you something. We didn't go anywhere, restaurant, gas station. I don't care where it was. He always witnessed. And you know, he's got me doing that everywhere I go now. Last week, I shared Christ with that track that Mick was talking about. I had three, I believe, that said yes to Christ. One of them was a gal that started in my Monday night Bible study. And I said, what is your number on a scale of 1 to 10? And she goes, well, I've been saved, and I got baptized, but I guess my number would be a 6. And I went, well, that's not bad. But if I could show you how to bump it up to a 10, would you want to? And she goes, yes. So I thought she'd do it right then, and she goes, can we do that like maybe tomorrow or something? I said, sure. I said, just don't wait too late. 5 days later, I'm thinking, well, maybe she's changed her mind. She calls me. She goes, I'm ready. I said, great. She prayed to receive Christ with me, cried, and she goes, later. So we were at the Bible study Monday. This was this past Monday. I said, anybody have anything to share? And I said, what's your number? And she goes, 11. She understood it. Folks, let me tell you something. When the gospel is given out, we need to make sure it's clear enough for people to understand when you receive Christ, it's for how long? But sometimes we forget. And I want to encourage you to know something. We all sometimes doubt if we're not focused right. So today I'm going to give you something I want you to think about. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to die? It wasn't even a biggie, was it? Think about what I mean. It wasn't a biggie. It wasn't adultery, murder, stealing. It was a simple act of disobedience. But it was a death sentence on mankind. So it only took one. How many of you would say that you're sinners? That's everybody. And if you're not raising your hand, you're a liar. But I want you to know we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, what? I knew you knew it. I knew you guys knew it. For all have sinned. All means what? All means all, and that's all means. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is. Isn't that fabulous? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But, I like that word being there, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you might be saved. What? Will be saved. That's a what? Promise. Is it a promise from Rick? Is it a promise from Pastor? No, it's a promise from from God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession salvation is made. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, that you or me, will call upon the name of the Lord, might be saved. Shall. Another promise. Folks, I want to ask you a question today. How many of you today, without raising your hand right now, you go through life and sometimes you just wonder, I want to make sure. I don't want to die and go to hell. You can have that settled in your heart, sitting in your seat by yourself at home. But why do that when you can do it right now so you don't have to think about it anymore? You can know. And I want to encourage you folks to do this today. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not of ourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at me. All of us in this room have to understand, if we could get to heaven any other way, by being good enough or working for it, why would Christ have gotten on his cross? If we could be good enough or work for it, Christ wouldn't have gotten on his cross. He'd let you just work for it. But there was no other way. Jesus paid for our sin in full. I want to ask y'all, are y'all blessed because of that? Aren't you thrilled that God did that for us? And right now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. So that nobody's looking around, and the folks that are here this morning that wants to make sure that if they died today, they'd go to heaven. I want you to know, our group has been praying for you. I've been praying for this for weeks. And I didn't know if we'd get to come. And then all of a sudden, the last minute or two, God made a way for us to be able to be here this morning, last minute. We haven't had sleep. But I'm asking you this morning, right now, in the silence of this moment, the Bible says that they that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning, if you'd like to call upon the name of the Lord, just do something like this by faith. It's not something you have to work for or earn. But right now, put your trust in him. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become a child of God, even to them that believe in his name. When you become a child of God, how long is that for? It's forever. Right now, would you like to call upon the name of the Lord? Just say something like this with a sincere heart. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I know that you died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and you paid in full for my sin on your cross. The Bible says that you paid for the sins of the world, and those that believe on your name can have eternal life. And right now, the best way we know how, the best way I know how, I, Jesus, invite you to come into my life right now, to give me a home in heaven with you and to save me right now. I receive this gift that you offer, the gift of eternal life, and I thank you for doing that for me. Thank you, Lord. I want to be your child. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make me, that you're going to be my father. I repent of my sin. I turn to you and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life right now. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you did that this morning, I want you to look up and catch my eye. And by that you're saying, I prayed that prayer with you, Rick, and I'm not ashamed of it. The Bible says that you won't be ashamed of it. So if you did that this morning, look straight at me and don't quit looking at me till I've acknowledged you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep looking. Keep looking. Anybody else? I know that most of you are saved, but there's going to be a group of you. I'm going to be in the middle. And I'll give another shout out around the ends again. God bless you, ma'am. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm trying to look to make sure. God bless you. Make sure I see you. If you have to stretch your head a little bit or turn, God bless you. Thank you. Amen. That's good. Anybody else in this middle section? I'm looking around. Now on to my right, you're on the left. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Somebody looked straight at me. I know there were several of you. Yeah, there's one. Thank God bless you. Anybody else? You're calling on the name of the Lord. You want to know for sure your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to glory. God bless you, man. I see you. Thank you, ma'am. I see you. I'm trying to see if there's anybody else. I don't want to leave you out. If I did leave you out, just kind of raise your hand real quick. Did you pray to receive Christ? I just can't see for sure. Anybody there? All right, anybody, just raise your hand. If I didn't see you, just look right. We're not gonna embarrass you, I promise. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for these who said yes. I thank you, Lord, that you are the ones that forgive sins, and you're the one, Lord, that gives us a new start. And I pray, God, for every one of these folks, that as they begin to grow in Christ, that this would be something that they can't wait to do, because they're newborn believers. They want to grow in the relationship with you. I thank you for every one of them. I pray, Lord, that you'll use us this week at camp. We're going to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, guys. I am so glad it worked out for you guys to be here. Appreciate you so much. We're going to take a special offering for them, so if we could have the ushers come, they're going to do one more song as we take the offering this morning. And I just ask that you please give generously to them. They weren't paid anything to come here today, and they're just coming out of the goodness of their heart to minister today. So please give generously and help support them. And when we're done taking the offering, when they're done with the song, we can be dismissed. And there is food ready for us down the long hallway in the multipurpose room. Right. So I'm going to ask you guys to lead the way and go first, all right? I know you guys have been traveling. You're probably starving. And
does it look like we're starving? And I am.
I'm sure you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this ministry today and for touching our hearts, that your Holy Spirit was here and speaking to us. And Lord, I just thank you for all of the commitments to you today as souls are being brought into the kingdom. That's what this is all about. And we just thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless these guys, and especially this week as they go and minister at camp. Lord, I just pray that you would bring students that would be drawn to you, that you would send your Holy Spirit ahead to pave the way and to begin to prepare their hearts already, Lord, to hear from you. And we know that you're going to do great things this week through that camp and through these guys, and that lots of people will be touched for you. Lord, we pray for their health, that as they pick up this year, continuing on in the ministry, Lord, we just pray for their strength, their health, that you would protect their bodies, Lord, from many further attacks from Satan. And we just pray again, Holy Spirit, that you would pave the way. Bless this offering. Multiply it, Lord, to their needs. And bless the food and all the hands that prepared it. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Josh. You've been flexible all morning, and we appreciate that. The staff, the guys, everybody that was helping us get set up. We're going to try to close with a song that we... some of you may have heard of the guy by the name of...
Oh, gosh.
B.J. Thomas.
Yes.
Some of you have heard of B.J. Thomas. He did a song one time on his recording that we knew the guy that wrote the song was Pat Terry, and it's called Home Where I Belong. We did this for my dad and my mom's funeral, and it's a really special song, and I think you'll like it.
They say that heaven's pretty, and living here is too. But if they said that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home. I'm going home.
where I belong. And sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look and see that homesick feeling in my eyes, I'm going home. I'm going home where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve him gladly, sing him all these songs. Well, I'm here, but not for long. And when I'm feeling lonely, and when I'm feeling blue, it's such a joy to know that I am only passing through. 'Cause I'm headed home, I'm going home where I belong. While I'm here, I'll serve him gladly, sing him all these songs. Well, I'm here, but not for long. One day I'll be sleeping when death knocks on my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore. 'Cause I'll be home, I'm going home where I belong. I'm going home where I belong. I'm going home where I belong.
All right, thank you.
We added it up. I've got 11 of these stories. If we've got any in a Bible, we'll make that 12. We have two more. We've got 13 now, okay? Can I hear 14, 15? Yeah. We'll leave them back here. Make it one a family, okay? Because we're not going to be able to give it out to everybody, but we'll try to get some more. Josh, if you would just remind me, because, yeah. There's two benefits to having Alzheimer's.
One, you keep making new friends.
And the other one is you can hide your own Easter eggs.
There you go.
So there you go. But anyway, we'll have these back, I guess, on a table back here, if that's okay. And then for some of you might be thinking, do y'all have any CDs? And we, believe it or not, we don't. All we've got is some thumb drives we put together.
We've got nine CDs, but we don't sell them anymore.
Yeah. Duh. But anyway.
You do? We do have a few for sale, so if you want to get one, you can.
Like I said,
Sue's the one that told me she got some, so
okay,
there we go.
But we do have some thumb drives, and we've got some that have a Christmas album and two or three, I like about 25 or 30 songs. So I don't know how much it costs, but anyway, they'll let you know back there, okay? Thank y'all so much. We've enjoyed it. We love y'all. We'll see you in heaven if we don't see you before.
Thank y'all. I want to say one more thing, and I don't know if this will ever happen, Josh, but we are trying to get back into a few more schools, and if y'all ever want us to come up here to do schools, we can't do too many anymore. We do three or four. We used to do 10 or 12, but we still see dozens and hundreds of kids come to Christ typically. So if y'all ever want to do that, y'all got to tell him and bug him so that we can come back and do this again, okay? But we'll do it in your schools. All right. Thank you.